This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Hello, America. I'm Bill Peters, and this is the CEO Show. Today, we're with Bill Ferrelli, who is the founder and CEO of a company called Innovation Finance. And we will be talking to Bill about the equipment financing business.
Delighted to be here. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Bill. So, Bill, this is a $1 trillion industry. And for our listeners out there, many of whom are CEOs of companies that do equipment financing, give us a little background about the history of equipment financing.
Sure. In the early days, Bill, equipment financing was done maybe 40, 50 years ago by independent equipment finance businesses. And over the last 25, 30 years, those businesses have largely been consolidated into large banks. So much of the business equipment financing is done by large banks. Many of the global manufacturers of equipment also have equipment finance businesses. So, for example, people who make large earth-moving equipment or technology equipment, oftentimes those businesses have financial services that finance their own products. And then there still are a number of independent companies out there like Innovation Finance that finance equipment as well. And together, those businesses finance $1 trillion worth of capital equipment every year in the U.S. alone.
Now, Bill, you founded a company many years ago called First American Equipment Finance, and then you turned around and sold it, and I think the current owner is Royal Bank of Canada, but they still use your name.
A little bit ironic that a Canadian company runs a business called First American Equipment Finance. But yes, that was a wonderful experience. For 20 years, I had the privilege of being the CEO, and we founded that business 20 years ago at a very small size, and we're very proud of having been involved there.
So let's talk for a minute about what you're doing now. I know it's called Innovation Finance, but you have a pretty exciting platform called QuickFi. So tell us about QuickFi.
Sure. QuickFi is a platform. It's basically a technology platform that we've put together, and it really represents an entirely new business model for the commercial equipment financing business. It allows a tremendous amount of control for customers who are the borrowers who are financing equipment. It allows transparency, and it allows tremendous speed. Transactions that used to take 3 weeks or longer for us to complete at our old business can now be completed by a customer 24/7, and they can complete the transaction start to finish in about 3 minutes.
Now, Bill, I asked you this question before, so I'm going to ask it again. Why is that important to your customer?
Well, we believe, actually, speed attracts people to our platform because it's so revolutionary and so different from what exists out there, that the real difference is the customer control and the transparency, and that ultimately that's what our customers are most fond of after they have the experience. They can see before they enter into a transaction what the rates are going to be. There's no hidden fees, no hidden costs whatsoever, and it's within their control to process the transaction from start to finish. If you really look at the old process, there's a lot of waiting there for customers. Customers are waiting for credit decisions to be made. They're waiting for paperwork to show up. They're waiting for funding to occur. And all of those steps are essentially eliminated, and it's within the customer's control to scan in an invoice for some equipment that they've received, pick the structure that they would like after they review the rates that are available to them, and then with a single digital signature, they can consummate the transaction all in a matter of minutes.
And how quickly would the financing be available?
In almost all cases, the funds are released the next business day.
Wow. That really is, that's earth-shaking. Wow.
It's quite a difference.
Okay. And so if I may, I'm a equipment, I'm some sort of a manufacturer, and I've got a nice new contract with somebody, and in order for me to fulfill that contract, I'm going to need some additional equipment. So this allows me to go out and purchase the equipment and then finance it after I've made the purchase.
That's correct.
Wow. I like that idea tremendously. So, you know, this is, you know, to our listeners out there, if you're a small company or if you're a medium-sized company that is in need of equipment financing, listen up. This is pretty important to you. But in talking with Bill before we went on the air, you also mentioned that QuickFi is quite an interesting platform that might be something of interest to much larger corporations. Talk about that.
Yeah, that's right. We're very excited, Bill, that we've had some interest from some global equipment manufacturers as well as some very large banks to potentially start doing some business on our platform. And that's very exciting. As you know, it's very hard to change your business model, and this represents an opportunity for some of those big businesses that see technology and change coming to really experiment with a new business model with relatively low risk.
Bill, let's switch around a little bit and talk for a minute about business and your customers and culture and that sort of thing, because this to me sounds like a real customer experience opportunity where you're eliminating a 3-week lead time, getting it down to 3 minutes, and that is obviously very satisfying to a potential customer. But let's talk about some of your best practices from culture. I know you started, you know, this. You started the first company when you were still in law school at Cornell, and now you're into your second company. But you've had the time now to learn about employee culture, customer culture. Let's talk about that a little bit, okay?
Sure.
So here's a tough one, okay? I want you to put your crystal ball on, or your hat, your crystal ball. Where do you see your industry in 5 years?
You know, that's an interesting question. About 5 years ago, I opened an industry conference with a bunch of industry leaders. I was asked to speak, and I asked that question, supposing that things would be dramatically different 5 years in the future, which is today. And the reality is there are some differences, but maybe it hasn't moved as fast as I would have expected. So I'm a little bit humbled by that, and I want to be careful that I don't go out too far out on a limb. But I do believe that there's going to be, whether it's 5 or 10 years, I'm not sure, but I know there's a point between the next 5 and 10 years where the industry, the commercial equipment finance industry, commercial lending industry, banking in general, they're all going to be dramatically different than they are today, and it's coming. And I think 5 years ago, there was skepticism. Half the people in the room thought nothing was going to happen, half thought it was going to change, but I think today everyone sees it coming, and it's just a question of time.
Is the change being driven by the millennial customer?
Partially. Buying preferences, customer buying preferences is a part of it, but it's being enabled by the new exponential technologies.
So let's start with your employees. Just give me sort of philosophy of how you look at employees.
Well, I guess one of the keys for me over 20 years running First American has always been, and First American was a company that really excelled in terms of customer service. And we found that in order to deliver great customer experience, you have to first deliver a great employee experience.
Mm-hmm.
Employees that are engaged and feel like they're a part of something that's meaningful and believe in the mission and the values of the company are the type of employees that can go out and deliver that type of experience. So we believe very strongly in that.
Mm-hmm. Could you give me an example of that?
Sure. You know, we had all sorts of programs at our last company, First American, to really make sure employees knew that they were valued and that they weren't just a resource or a cog in the machine, but they were a unique individual who mattered. And we had all sorts of employee recognition programs, all sorts of other benefits. But I think most importantly is the way we tried to communicate with employees. We always felt like, well, I guess there are two things in my mind that are really particularly important. One is organizational design. We tried to run a very flat team-based organization because we feel like that was a much more effective organizational design that let people have meaningful work and make an impact on what they do. And then secondly, we ran a very transparent communication style with our employees. We had, for example, as the CEO, we had monthly meetings where all employees were present and they could ask any question they want. and it was a very transparent environment. We always were of the belief that trust, employee trust, was the most important thing.
Bill, we've got about a minute left before we break, so let me ask you this question. One of the things you said is the importance of becoming a technologist. Could you go into that in a little bit more detail and explain what you mean by that?
Well, in the 20 years, you know, I started as a CEO at a very young age, and I'm still trying to figure it out. But one of the things that I've seen change over the 20 years is that it's become much more important that a CEO has a technological understanding as part of their core competency and skill set. Things are moving so fast, business models are changing so rapidly, that you really have to know something about technology.
So on that, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about changing your business model.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Warning, don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build for your business to grow, call General Steel today for a pre-engineered steel building designed for your needs. No wasted space. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. And you can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. But you must call now. If you need a church building, office, warehouse, manufacturing space, retail space, or more, call General Steel today. You can still get the General's 50-year structural warranty and General Steel quality, all at a price you can afford. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great.
800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Bill Peters. This is the CEO Show, and I'm here today with Bill Hurley. And Bill, we're happy that you're talking here about a lot of different equipment financing ideas and just some good philosophies. But one of the things that struck me is something you said, which is it's very hard to change your business model for a company. And in a lot of cases, and you gave a great example of Netflix being one that sort of jumps out, where they went from being a disc mailing company to being basically a provider of content. But explain to me why you feel it's so hard for a company to change their business model.
Well, I think that sometimes leaders confuse the fact that spending money on technology is not necessarily advancing the business model. When you think about disruption, Bill, it seems to me that most disruption happens when a new company enters your market with a different business model. And a lot of the money we're spending on technology, and I say this in the financial services industry from having been a part of a bank and worked in that business a long time, a lot of the money we're spending on technology is actually digging us deeper into the current business model, the business model we already have, and actually bringing technology to bear in a way that changes the customer experience, the way the product's delivered, what we do. That's very difficult, and there are relatively few examples of companies that have successfully navigated that. I think that's one of the big challenges that's rising and why there's so much discussion about disruption today.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bill, we talked earlier about some of your business philosophies, and I really want to zero in on a couple that jumped out at me. You're originally from Detroit, and Henry Ford was a hero of yours, but you said the assembly line has actually hurt us, you know, as an economy. Give me a little bit of detail on that.
Yeah, well, sometimes, Bill, I think maybe it's gone a little bit too far, as often happens with good ideas. In this case, you know, we've seen 25 years in the industry I'm in financial services, where the prevailing business strategy was really consolidation, economies of scale, growth. It was, you know, if you can squeeze out widgets for a nickel less next year, that's what we all have to do. And there wasn't really a lot of focus on what we were delivering, on new technologies, on the customer experience. It was all about that assembly line and how we could make the assembly line bigger. That's resulted in organizations today, Bill, that are really not very good at changing. They're not very agile. These are big organizations that are siloed. They have a lot of hierarchy and a lot of bureaucracy. They tend not to be team-based. They tend to have the decision makers quite a bit away from the customers and the competitors, which makes it very difficult for those companies to be agile. So that's the way we think about it. When we look at some of the new big companies, like Google, we see companies that are very large, but they're very team-based and they're organized very differently. They're not assembly line-oriented, and that's really what my point was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a very good point. The whole team-based concept or being trying to eliminate the silos, we're seeing that in more and more large corporate companies, but as you say, it takes a long time to make those changes. So the smaller company is a lot more agile and nimble and can do this on a much faster basis. So, you know, carrying that thought forward, you know, you said one of your tenets is stop being a follower. So talk to me about that.
Sure. And by the way, on that last point, I'll just add that it's also sort of a cultural thing, right? We spend a lot of time, I was commenting to the organizational design elements, but we spend so much time talking about culture, and that is an important part, too, because once you have even if you change your organizational design, once people have the mindset that I just turn a bolt and then I pass it to the person on my left, it's hard to get that sense of ownership that these companies are seeking today.
Very good point.
But the next question, Bill, was?
Well, in other words, one of your philosophies or tenets is stop being a follower. Give our audience a little bit more detail as what you mean by that.
Right, right. I read a fairly obscure book years ago that had a big impact on me as a CEO. It's a book called Leadership, Thinking, Being, Doing by a guy named Lee Thayer. And in the book, he talks about the fact that everybody wants to be extraordinary. Everybody wants to have extraordinary results, but only if they can pretty much do everything like everybody else, if they can be the same as everyone else. And that's really a commentary on human nature, right? We all want to fit in. We want to do things like everyone else. And one of the things we've realized is that in business, if you want to have extraordinary results, you have to pick a few things that are different than all your competitors are doing. You have to pick the right things. It's not random. But if you can pick a few things that are fundamentally different and could really differentiate you, that's important. And I think particularly in, well, certain industries, you see there's very much of a follower mentality. There's a market leader or a large company, and then most of the rest of the companies are kind of following what they do. And I think that's one of the most important roles for a CEO, is to be thinking, where can we actually be doing something that's different compared to what everyone else is doing?
Well, you actually lived that, because you've made some major changes. You were actually head of the Equipment Financing Association, I believe, the Loan Finance Association, and here you are disrupting it now. And it shows that you're actually living the tenet that you talk about.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we're trying.
So, you know, we always like to ask a few questions as we wind down the interview, to more give a general wisdom type statement. And one of my favorites is, all right, you've been in this business for quite some time. What's the biggest challenge that you faced and why?
Really, I think the biggest challenge, when we sold our company, we had a business that was very entrepreneurial. We'd grown it to a pretty good size, but we were bought by a bank, and we expected the worst, candidly. My lawyer, she's a wonderful person and had become a good friend, and she said, Bill, I just want to warn you that, you know, this might not be so smooth. I've seen 300 privately held companies bought by large companies, and I know how it works out. And she was actually mistaken on that, fortunately. We bought by a wonderful company, and they were very much wanted to do the right thing, and they treated us very well, and I ended up staying and working for them for 3 years. But what I realized was, in a company of that size, it is extremely difficult to change. And in today's day and age, with these new technologies emerging that are enabling these new business models, which are much better than the way we used to do business before, but it just wasn't possible to use them because they didn't exist, it's so difficult for these big companies to get from where they are today to where they want to go. And I think we had an experience at the end in our last business, even though we had tremendous respect and appreciation for the organization that we were a part of, we had an appreciation for that difficulty. And I think that's really the biggest problem facing not only financial services, but many large businesses today, as things start to change much more quickly because of all these new exponential technologies.
Is the ability to adapt quickly.
That's right.
Wow, that is terrific. Last quick question. First off, I want to make sure we get the website in there for our listeners. It's quickfi.com.
That's correct.
Boy, I love that. I love it. Short and sweet. So, Bill Varelli, what's the future hold for you?
Well, we're very excited about this new QuickFi platform, and we're going to work very hard to try and create a platform that's transparent and it's customer-focused. It's 100% about the customer, and it really delivers something valuable and new. So we're committed to that. We're very busy, and we're very excited. We're really energized.
Well, Bill, thank you very much for being a guest on the CEO Show.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors that Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. Runs in my family on the mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do, you know, 3.5 miles with my dog, and no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying, you need to stick with the program, and you've got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Brian Rolapp. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing great, thanks. Brian is president of NFL Network. And so let's talk about the NFL. Then let's talk a lot about digital and what's happening, because everyone wants to know that. We may even talk fantasy football, too.
Okay, sure.
So let's talk about the NFL as a brand, 100th year now. Mm-hmm. How is the NFL different than different competitors, NBA, MLB, soccer globally?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's different in a lot of ways from those sports, especially the NBA or Major League Baseball. I think one thing that's different is constantly the data will tell you that people in America have their favorite sport is NFL football. Their second favorite sport is college football. So the role that football plays in this country is much different, I think, than all the other sports. And that translates to the number of fans that we have. We have about 180 million people in this country who count themselves as NFL fans. Now, some are more avid, some are less avid, but they all count themselves as NFL fans. And when you're that big, you look like America. You look like America socioeconomically. People are different. Racially, they're different. Politically, they're different, but the one thing they have in common is their love for NFL football, and it's one of the last things in this country, in my opinion, that can unite that many people in a common passion. Those just don't really exist anymore. And that alone, I think, is what our brand is about and what NFL football represents for people.
And if you look at something like the NBA, more of players are getting aligned, and there's a little bit of a shift over in that direction. What's your take on the direction the NFL is going?
Yeah, I think, we can't have a sport, we can't have a business, we can't have anything without our players. They're great. And I think, in my opinion, the most well-rounded, outstanding athletes on the planet. And what they do every weekend is quite amazing. And so they're really important. And they're increasingly using their platform to do things that they care about, which we love, that they get involved in their communities. When you add the advent of social media, where now you can see these guys, where they spend most of their Sundays behind helmets, but now you get to know them and they can communicate directly with fans, I think across all sports, that is creating more of an athlete empowerment than I think we've ever seen in the history of sports, which is not a bad thing, which is a great thing. Clearly, they're making more money than they ever had before, which is great. They're being compensated for the unique talent that they have. And so I think athlete empowerment to do what they want with their platform is a really good thing. And I think you see that across all sports.
And how about the economics of how the NFL works? You know, now a lot of focuses on actually fan experience and how they're changing with digital, everything there, and with your core, which is TV and then digital. Yeah. How does that all work?
Well, I think there are two parts to your question. The first is about how the economic system works in the NFL, which I think is not only unique among sports, but is one of the greatest reasons why the NFL has been so successful for as long as it has. And that is that we have an economic system that is combined two important elements. One, equally shared revenue. So the most of our revenue that we generate as a league is equally shared among 32 teams. That combined with a salary cap that is collectively bargained with our players. And so what that does is that allows for competitive parity. So when you have salaries capped, although high, right, very high, they're capped, the New York Giants will spend the same amount of money on players as the Green Bay Packers. And if the Green Bay Packers, or if the New York Giants, I should say, beat the Green Bay Packers, it's not because they're in a bigger market and they have more resources and they can pay players more. It's because they've allocated the same number of dollars better than the Green Bay Packers. So that creates an incredibly...
That's a really interesting point that I bet a lot of people didn't realize about this.
It is, and I think it's why you can have a market the size of Green Bay, which I think has maybe 200,000 people in it, consistently win in the league, over teams that have, you know, 10 times that population. So market size doesn't matter. That's not true in international soccer and some other places. And I think you see most sports leagues trying to move towards that model as much as they can. So I think the economic system leads to competitive parity, which means the product is fabulous. That's really what it's about. And we have typically teams who finish last in their division go to the playoffs the next year. And that's why it's so hard to predict who's going to win.
I'm a Jets fan, so I've yet to see that.
They were in a couple AFC championships not too long ago, so they're but they've had their years. But it also shows why what New England does is so impressive. Because
that's what I wonder. Yeah. What is New England then doing different? Is it really just Belichick is smarter than other people?
Well, I looked at the
Brady is that good? Is 42?
I think it's all of it. Like, you know, I think if I knew the answer to that question, I wouldn't be sitting here. I'd probably have a different job. And I think a lot of people ask those questions. But you know, the Crafts run an unbelievable organization. Bill Belichick's obviously a very brilliant coach. And somehow they have figured out a system that seems to work where they have been competitive for two decades, and that in the salary cap era, that is supposed to not happen very often, and they've done it well. So, I think that's unique. But the second part of your question was about our media revenue, which is the bulk of our revenue. So we make most of our money, which obviously is equally shared, from television and media. And really, I think our media strategy is one of the reasons the NFL has been successful, is because our media strategy today, quite frankly, is not that different than what Pete Rozelle came up with in the early 60s, which was use the dominant media platform of the day to reach as many households as you can for as long as you can. And back then, it was television. And for a long time, it has been television. Television is still pretty dominant. But now that reach is more complicated because as digital has come and technology is driven, it has fragmented audiences and it's harder to reach people for long durations of time. And I think anybody in the media business, especially the live events business, is figuring out how you replicate that, how you reach those people. And so we spend a lot of time thinking about how we distribute not only our live games digitally, but also how we distribute all of our content outside of games, whether during the week or in the off season, using digital platforms. And that's only going to increase. It just has to.
How about things like Red Zone?
Red Zone is, Red Zone is a great example of when we look at our media strategy. When you have 180 million fans, they all have different levels of avidity. I can watch games from 1 o'clock to 11 o'clock on a Sunday. My wife won't. But she will watch the biggest game, right? So she is very interested in football, but she's not as avid as I am. And what we try to do is to make sure that there is football available for everybody all the way up that avidity curve. So if there's somebody like me, I can watch every game. I can buy Sunday ticket to get all the other games. I can get the Red Zone channel, which is great. If it's someone like my wife, we just make sure that there's always games over free over-the-air television for her to watch. And Red Zone, I think, fits more up that avidity curve. I think a lot of people, when they see Red Zone, think this is the only way to watch football. The reality is we only have about, on a given Sunday, around 1 million people watching the Red Zone channel. And for comparison, on a 1 o'clock game, we'll probably have 10 times that nationwide. So it's still a small part of our fan base, but the people who watch it love it because they can't get enough.
And you, when you look at digital, you've done a lot of partnerships also, mm-hmm. like you've done with Verizon, with Comcast. Talk about the different partnerships.
Yeah, I think that these sports leagues, while we have a television network, we have a digital arm, we really can't grow the sport or grow the business without partners. And so partners have been extremely important for us over the years. And so we have, when it comes to the media space, we have the best-in-class television partners. And I think that's one of the secrets of our success is we're not in business with one media company. We're in business with a bunch of them. So NBC...
That's by design.
That's by design. NBC has a package. CBS has a package. Fox has a package. ESPN has a package. Our own network that we own has a package. And we want as many media companies talking about the NFL as possible. At the same time, we have new partners. Amazon distributes Thursday Night Football as well. We have increasing partnerships with Instagram, Snapchat. We're the highest performing content on Snapchat, YouTube. And so what we realize is in this whole media strategy, you need to reach everybody. Television is just not going to reach everybody like it did 10, 15 years ago and won't necessarily increase in the future. So you need to have partnerships with people who can reach those people you can't. And that's increasingly digital platforms, and that's increasingly social platforms.
1 minute before break, what don't people know about the economics of digital?
I think what they don't know about the economics of digital is that it's not the same as the economics is of the traditional media industry. I think it's easy to say that the only economics driving some of these digital players is advertising, when in reality they're creating other much more complex businesses. Amazon is as big as the, is going to be as big as the media company as anybody. They are clearly in multiple lines of businesses, whether that's subscriptions to Amazon Prime, whether that's selling new merchandise, whether that's their cloud business. There's different ways where they make money. And so what the NFL does well is helps you make money on advertising, but also helps you make money in other parts of your business. And so as we move to those digital platforms, that'll be interesting to watch.
We're about to take a break. When we come back with Brian Roelof, we are going to find out what is the big one. Is it Thursday night football, Monday night football, you know, 4 p.m., 1 p.m.? Back in a few.
I'm here with Scott Jusseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hi, this is Robert Greece on the CEO Show, and we're with Brian Rolopp, who is the president of NFL Network. So, curiosity, what is the big one? Is it Thursday night football? Is it what? Is it Monday, Sunday? What's the best time?
Well, the most viewed game every week is the 4:25 national game on either CBS or Fox. That is the most viewed football game we have. The second most viewed football game is Sunday night. Now, a lot of people think Sunday night is the most highly viewed, and it is very highly viewed. But that 4:25 game is still the biggest. And so when we make the schedule, we keep that in mind. So
that's why, as a Jets fan, we're always on at one.
Well, yeah, a lot of people can. The more they win, they will play their way on to 4:25, or they'll play their way on to.
But which is bigger? Monday is the next biggest, or is it Thursday?
The next biggest is Thursday.
Thursday is bigger than Monday.
Yeah. So the number one show on television is the 4:25 game. The number one primetime show on television is Sunday Night Football. The number two primetime show on television is Thursday Night Football. And Thursday Night Football started as a small cable package in 2006 on the NFL Network. In just 13 years, we've grown it to the second highly primetime viewed programming you can have, because we always felt Thursday could be a football night. And we really built that over a decade.
Yeah, and so let's talk. You also have Sunday morning now, because, you know, when you go to England or something. What's your take on how you're expanding internationally, Mexico, England, other places?
Well, it's a lot of, we put a lot of time and investment in that. I think, football is not of a popular sport internationally as it is domestically, and so that takes a lot more work and investment. And I would say we probably have more of a multinational strategy than an international strategy. And what I mean by that is we're really concentrating on a few core markets. That's the UK, that's Canada, that's Mexico, that's Germany. And so we really, and to some extent Japan.
Not Japan.
To some extent Japan, yeah. But we invest quite a bit, and what we realized a few years ago, sports fans around the world are sophisticated. They know the difference between the varsity and the JV, and what I mean by that, they know the difference between a regular season game and an exhibition game. And we made the decision, if we are going to grow the sport meaningfully, we are going to have to play our best product. So we started playing regular season games abroad consistently. So we play 4 games in London this year. In fact, we have a great partnership with Tottenham, who just built a new stadium, and we put money into that stadium to make sure it converts appropriately to American football. We played the others in Wembley, and we played preseason games a little bit in Canada, but we've also played regular season games there too. So I guess the point is we're investing our best product because people know the difference. And it's paid dividends. I mean, you think of our viewership and our fan growth in Europe has been significantly. Mexico is a great market, growing not only economically but as far as the number of fans by leaps and bounds every year.
And what's the secret to growing fan base internationally? Is it digital? Is it certain teams? Is it followership?
It's a multivariable approach, but it's tough. If you think about some of the sports that are popular internationally, basketball has been an Olympic sport since 1950. They've been playing baseball in Japan since 1945, and so these are long-term sports who've been in those markets. And so how do you replicate that and do that? It takes a lot of investment. I think it takes the right media strategy. I think we try to replicate as much as we can the reach strategy that has built fans in this country into the other country. So having the right broadcast partners, but that's also increasingly meant digital, where the same trends that you see in this country, where younger people, more people are consuming almost exclusively their content from digital platforms, you need to be there in a meaningful way if you want to build a fan base. Forget about the money, mm-hmm. but if you want to reach them and build a fan base, you kind of need to be there.
And it starts as money and then fan base, or is it fan base then money?
I think it's the opposite. Mm-hmm. I think it's fan base and then you build money. I think you see some of these new sports are trying to replicate the professional sports model by starting a new sport and then getting TV money, and that's not really how it works. And if you really look at the history of sports leagues, the NFL didn't really start making a ton of television money until the early 90s. And so that was when we had, decades and decades of building the sport and building the fan base.
Okay, let's look at what a lot of CEOs I know are big-time sports fans, and there's a lot of lessons people always say, well, move the ball forward, whatever it is, move the chains. What would you say CEOs could learn from football that could help them in business?
It's really interesting. I think the one thing that makes the game of football so amazing is that it teaches lessons that are applicable to anything you do in life, and especially business. And I think if you see some of the more a lot of the successful CEOs in this country is they've played football, and you talk to them about how is football.
Actually, it's interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of them have.
They have. They really have. And they will tell you, to be part of a football team, a competitive football team, it doesn't matter if that's high school or college or wherever it is it takes a tremendous amount of hard work. There is no substitute for hard work. Everybody hates football practice. I have never met anybody who loves football practice because it's hard, hard work. It requires, it's cliche, but it's true, it requires teamwork, that you have to get along with others, but at the same time you have to do your individual job. A football play breaks down if individuals don't do their individual job, yet they work as a team, which is really, really important.
Talk about the future of the NFL, and you said it's obviously everything's built around the fan, or the customer experience, fan experience.
Yeah. Our fans are amazing and are really what make the NFL go, and we ask a lot of them, right? We ask 3 hours of their time to watch a game. We ask them to come to a stadium. Tickets are increasingly expensive. And so we have a very fan-focused approach when we build stadiums. And if you think some of the stadium construction that you'll see in the next 10 years will be much different. They'll be much different in the type of amenities they have, how they use technology as 5G comes on board, which is really important. The value you get for a ticket, they'll probably be smaller than they've been, so you can actually provide more value. So I think you'll see a ton of innovation.
Self-editing, more people are.
I think if you think about a stadium, this should be the best place to experience football. And you actually live in a world now where there's so much at your fingertips with mobile technology and the highlights we give you on Twitter and everything else, that sometimes if a team is not that maybe 500 and it's cold out, you might be making that decision, maybe I don't go to the stadium. Maybe I put my tickets on StubHub and sell. We can't have that. We've got to make sure that the stadium's the best place to go and best place to experience football. And so the amount of investment we'll put into that over the next decade will be really important. And by the way, you only get one shot at this. You build a stadium and it's like good for 20 years and you spend billions of dollars. You got to get that right. So we'll spend a lot of time on that. But at the same time, The customer experience is only going to improve with technology. Between 5G and mobile technology and the rise of digital platforms, the way to get content around football will be much easier and much richer in the next 10 years than it was, I think, in the last 30 combined. And so we're approaching our television agreements, which end after the 21 and 22 season, and I think you will see as we reshuffle the deck and we negotiate new media agreements, I think you'll see them different in a lot of ways, not only in the partners we might have, but also in how we deliver football to the next generation of fans, I think will be as different as anything you've ever seen.
On that note, a pleasure having you on the CEO show, Brian.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.